Welcome to the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. I'm Chip Brim, filling in for Mom. Thank God for Mama. So I want to talk to you about, we've been talking all week about being serious and inspired to do great things for God, but I want to talk to you about, we'll end this week off with being serious about operating in the power of God. It's time for the church to operate in the power of God like never before, and it's just time. And the world's waiting on it, whether they know it or admit it or not. But for us to get serious about operating in this power, here's some things we need to understand. Since the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, who is the power, that's who our power is, has been with us for 2,000 years. His presence is in the world, church, and inside of every believer. But we got to understand this. He's a person, and he abides in us, and he has a nature. Paul talks about it in Ephesians. He says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Then he talks about things that grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, before I start to talk about these things that grieve the Holy Spirit and the things that please him, he's the power. He's the muscle. Jesus didn't do one great thing without the Holy Spirit. Not one great thing in the Bible was done without the Holy Spirit. Same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. It's the same Holy Spirit who Mary said, well, how can I have this child and he do great things when I know no man? And what did the angel say? The Holy Spirit will come upon you. You have no clue. He is how the impossible becomes possible. You can't, whoever you are, you can't do what God's called you to do without the Holy Spirit. But here is what we've got to understand. He can be grieved. That means he can be benched and he can be put in the game. Now, here's how I want to explain this. It's a great way to explain this. The Lord showed it to me, I believe. Let's say that you're a basketball player. And you're also the coach of this team, and I want you to just parallel this with life. You want to win, and you've been playing against the enemy, and you've been losing, and you're struggling, and you hate to lose. I hate to lose. I don't just love to win. I hate to lose. Well, if you're like me, I don't want the devil to win anything. And so you're out there, and you're playing this basketball game, the game of life, and you're losing. But here's the kicker. You've got the best player in the world on your bench. Let's just say it was Michael Jordan in his prime, okay? And he's on your bench. Now, in his contract, he can't be traded. Now, he would like to be traded because you're not playing him. Well, why are you not playing him? How? That's not very smart coaching. And you're losing? Now, he's over on the bench, and he's signing autographs and shoe deals and taking pictures with kids and families. Now, he wants in, but he's waiting for that sound for you to put him in. Now, do you realize that when you do put him in, how the game's going to change? Do you realize he's going to walk by you and go, don't shoot, just give me the ball, stay out of the way? Now, I'm going to tell you something. All of a sudden, the momentum would shift and you would begin to win. And the pressure would be off you. That's the way it is with the Holy Spirit. There are things Paul says that can bench him because he's on your team. The good news is he can't be traded. When you got born again, he came inside of you to abide, John says. To abide, and he can't leave. He's there. Bam. He's on your team. I want to tell you something. He's old school. He's got the short shorts and he's got the socks pulled up. And he's probably got the headband with the goggles and he's old school. Probably got a fro. But I'm going to tell you this. Nobody is better at winning than him. And he has been sent. Jesus said, the disciple says, you can't leave. You can't. No, there's one coming greater. Greater things you'll do. Holy Ghost. Well, he has a nature. He's on your team. But you know what you need to do? Get him in the game. Okay, well, Paul talks about the axe that bench him and the axe that put him on the floor. Now, if you've got him on the floor, you're going to win, period, with no pressure on you. So Paul talks about the axe, things that get if somebody just tuned in, what's this guy doing? Here's the things that get him on the bench. Let all bitterness, if there's any bitterness that grieves the Holy Ghost, bitterness. So is it worth it? Is it worth losing in life to the enemy? Is it worth having a hard life and then waiting for heaven? Why would Jesus say, I want you to have abundant life? He's not talking about heaven. That's a given. I want you to have it now. Well, so bitterness, you're still bitter at maybe an ex-wife or husband, or maybe it's a government or president or a boss or neighbor or dog or... It's not worth it, guys. It's not worth it. You need the Holy Ghost. God knew that. You can't do it just with your talent alone. None of us can. Let all wrath, anger, clamor, any evil speaking. And if you study that out, that doesn't just mean cussers or swears. That means anything that's not of God if there's no faith involved. So are you speaking negatively all the time? That benches the Holy Spirit. Well, thank God he's still on our team. I don't know about you, but we need to act right now. I don't know who you are driving. You're at work. You're at home. Just make the sound. You're back in, Holy Ghost. Oh, man, he's high-fiving you right there, and we're going to start winning. Well, Paul says what to do to get him on the court. What is it? Here's the characteristics that please him. Be kind. Be compassionate. Love one another. Be forgiving. See, all these things that deal around love. We need to be compassionate. Is there somebody, church, come on. We can feed people. We can clothe people. We can help people. Be kind to one another. Be tenderhearted. Forgive. Forgive somebody. Call them up. Man, I'm going to tell you, your life's going to start winning. You're going to start winning. Call them up. Forgive them. Forgive them. Be led by the Lord in what to do. Because without love, you're nothing. Without God, you know, love says it never fails. Love, your faith, love is important, and that's what he's talking about. That's how the Holy Ghost, who is God, who is love, operates and loves everything. The Bible says without it, you're nothing. Your faith doesn't work without it. You can't please God without it. You'll never fail with it. It's important. Jesus said to the lawyer, he said, it's everything, man. I mean, everything hangs on it. In Matthew 22, everything hangs on your love. And the Lord said to me, Chip, I want you to coach love. It's not been coached before like it needs to be. It has been coached, but it needs to be coached again. And I knew what the Lord was talking about. When you coach something, you break it down. See, love is not just one word that means all this. It's many intricate parts. And the Lord reminded me, how would you coach a baseball player? I was a coach for many years. How would you coach a batter if he was struggling, frustrated, and his career was about to end if he doesn't hit, and he comes to you and he says this, Coach, I'm struggling. I need to hit the... And I would give him this answer. Watch this. This is kind of how the church has been teaching love. And I would say this to him. This is how silly this is. What you need to do, son, is hit the ball. I know that, but I'm struggling. I need help. Hey, listen, hit the ball and everything will be fine. You know, that's kind of how we've been teaching love. Hey, you go to Sunday, walk in love. Walk in love. I'm trying. That's what the world's saying. We're trying. Christians are going, we're trying. And so I knew, you know what I'd do with that hitter? I would film him, slow it down into slow motion. Him and I would watch it with other coaches and whoever needs to be there. And we would put it in super slow-mo. Because hitting is many intricate parts. It's your grip of the bat. It's your elbows, the placement, your balance, your head, your hips, your knees, your stance. There's all these intricate parts that could be affecting what he's doing. And so we'd look at him. Maybe his head's good, his grip's good, and all of this. And then I find that front hip, and it's flying out. And it's taking all this other good off. It's making him come off the ball. So you know what we'll do? We'll get him in the gym. We'll tie him up to where he can't move that hip. We'll put him underwater, strobe light rooms. We'll do all these things where we train that hip to get back into place. And where he's staying, that hip doesn't know anything but to stay on that ball, to stay closed. Well, that's what we need to do with love. And love has many intricate parts. Brother Hagin used to coach it. He would say, if you ever want to learn how to walk in love, go get his old tapes on how to walk in love, and he'll say, buy an amplified version, go to 1 Corinthians 13, if you're serious about it, and you will see all the parts of love. If you go in there, it says love endures, love is kind, love is not jealous. Well, what's that? That's your grip, that's your elbows, that's your... Love is many parts. Well, you need to go down there and find your hip. Maybe there's two or three hips. No big deal. Work on one. You'll see the fruit of that one in no time, and you'll want to work on the other ones. So find your hip. Go buy you an amplified version, 1 Corinthians 13, and find out what's your hip. My hip is patience. There's one in there. So I'm working on patience, and I put it in front of me all the time. And so there's all of these in there, and if you find your hip, then you will begin more, the Holy Spirit will be more active. You're reactivating the Holy Spirit and you will win. See, that's what my mom did years ago when I was probably about 10 years old. And my dad came home, and I remember that day, and everybody knows the chili story. But Mom was being taught by Brother Hagin how to get serious about walking in love. So she went in there, and I want to tell you something. If anybody knew my mom, she's Miss Walking Love. I mean, give her the crown and the sash, everything. And she listens to this teaching from Brother Hagin. She goes and buys an amplified Bible, and she, you know what she did? She found her hip. And this is in the early 70s. Well, she did. I'm just, you know, relaying hip. But what she did was she went in there and found that love is not touchy. And so she got a 3x5 card, and she put it everywhere. She put it in her bedroom, bathroom, car, over the sink, over the refrigerator, washer and dryer. And she put love is not touchy because she wanted to operate in the power of God. Now, she wasn't a preacher this time. She wasn't speaking to all over the world in books and radio and television like God is using her now. But all of that was hanging on it. Not only that, but her children who were sitting there and their children, all that was hanging on if she gets this down. And so Dad come in, and he had a bite of the chili that she had made that night, worked hard all day, and Mom worked hard and was doing all of this in the laundry and everything else. And Dad made a comment, well, this don't taste like my mama's chili. Well, all of us kids, oh, no, here comes a brawl or whatever, a fight. You know what Mama did? She walked over, opened the cabinet door, and read that love is not touchy. You know what she did? She started working on her hip. And then Dad said something else like, why don't we have crackers? And Mom went back over there, worked on that hip. Love is not touchy. Love is not. She put it in front of her eyes. She didn't have to make herself think back. She had it in front of her eyes the whole time. And then so Mom went to the store and got crackers and got all of this stuff. Well, what happened, and there's way more detail to that story, that the Lord filled her car with the glory and the presence of God. And I'm going to tell you, she says, I don't know how to explain it, but the love of God, not my love, not my natural human love, but God's love came in me. And all I wanted to do was to please that man the rest of my life. That's how marriages and that's how families should operate. Not their own natural human love, but God's love, the agape love. But how does that happen? By us working and finding our hips, going into 1 Corinthians 13, which is your hip? Maybe you have a triple hipper. Maybe you have a double hipper. Big deal. No worries. If God's a great coach like I know he is, he's going to say, way to go. You're working on that hip. And you'll see fruits of it, I'm telling you, in a day, maybe even that day, when you begin to work on that. Put it in front of your eyes. What is it? Patience? What is it? Is it touchiness? Whatever it is, put it and it'll affect. It changed my dad. It changed my life. It changed my family's life. To this day, we're all in the ministry because my mama worked on her hip. Glory to God. So find your hip and work on it. We're so glad that you gave me and you listened, some of y'all, for 2 weeks. And I hope you'll join back with Mom or whoever's on next. And she's in Israel. If you have any questions, contact us at Billy Brim Ministries, P.O. Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. Or you can call us at 1-800-972-3447. Let us know how you feel. Partner up with us. We'd love to have you on the team. Man, we do great things. We'd love to see you. And just remember, this is Chip Brim saying, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. See you, champions.